Hey guys, it's Jennifer with Shooter's Mindset, and we are live with episode 421. Got our co-hosts here. Greg, how's it going?
Good. How about y'all?
Doing well. Can't complain. Nobody would care. Corey, how about you? How's your weekend? Did you shoot like 50 matches? All right.
Yeah, I shot a couple matches. Shot a couple.
A couple in a weekend?
Yeah, we had a PRS match that we host. I think we had 106 for that, and then USPSA the next day.
Nice.
Corey's infamous for like getting on here and saying like, yeah, I shot three matches last weekend. And we're like, how does that even work?
Yeah, but that's normal for Corey.
Mm-hmm. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, man.
Nice.
Crazy man. And our guests of the hour and the people that everybody really wants to hear from, we have veterans of the show. They've been on multiple times. We've got Chris Andrews, the director, match director of the Mammoth Sniper Challenge. And we've got Tim Jensen, the owner of Grunt Style and Mammoth and all things torture. How's it going, guys?
It's going great.
Yes, great to be back with you guys. It's always Mammoth season.
It's Mammoth time.
I gotta say, this is my favorite time of year, the build-up and seeing everybody start posting about it and all the training that they're doing. It is fun to see because, Chris and I spent a lot of time thinking about how we're going to make it more difficult every year.
Yes, you just dream about it. And the grin that you get is like no other. Like, you know, Tim's like all serious most of the time. Then he starts talking about torturing shooters and the grin comes.
It is weird thinking about it all year. There will be times like, I'll be out like working in the yard or something. And I'm like, oh, that's a good idea. I'll write that down before I forget it.
That's a new way to torture people.
Yeah. Yeah.
So for anybody that doesn't know y'all, mm-hmm. maybe hasn't caught the show or don't know about Mammoth or lived under a rock for the last few years, kind of tell us a little bit about yourselves and how you got into shooting and into Mammoth.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you my short story, and that kind of leads into how I met Tim. But again, I'm Chris Andrews. I'm the match director. This will be my sixth year as match director and our sixth event at U.S. Army Base Fort Gordon, Eisenhower. And I started as a competitor in 2014, competed with Scott Whitehead at the Rock Castle Shooting Center and the arena training facility, 2014, 15, 16, 17, 18. At that point, I was 40 and a couple years old, 40 and a bunch of years old. And I learned that Grunt Style bought the event from the previous owner. And I had been bugging Tim about when it was going to happen, where it was going to be, when the entries were going to open up and all that stuff. And Tim pitched me the idea, you could be the match director of this. You've done this for a long time. And my feet and my knees and my legs said, that's a great idea. sounds much better than rucking. You should do that. So that's really when I started working with Tim closely on this. And 6 years in, we're here to tell an exciting story tonight. But I'll let Tim cover what we've done since then.
Yeah, it's been crazy. I got into shooting through a friend, Joe Cayley. I have not shot a weapon in a long time, right? And he took me out shooting, rolled me into this shooting competition. I have no idea what I was doing against a whole bunch of Rangers. And I'm like, what is going on? I haven't shot a rifle since combat. And, I did okay. I placed middle of the pack there. And then the next thing I know, he's enrolling me into Mammoth Sniper Challenge. I had no idea what that was. But it was probably the most challenging event that I had participated my post-military experience. And from that, I was captivated. And, Joe Harris came up to me. He's the founder of the Mammoth Sniper Challenge. He's like, hey, Tim, I want to really start spending time with my family. And, I can think of no other brand that can carry the Mammoth Sniper Challenge forward and make it what it truly should be. And, we had an arrangement and we took it over. And 6 years running, I think we made the best choice possible in our match director with Chris Andrews. What he's been able to do with Mammoth is take it from this grueling event and really streamline it and make it a highly efficient event, one of the best events, I have to say, not because I've been affiliated with it for so long, but I have to say, watching Chris put this together every year, the science that he puts behind it, he is like Mussolini. All the trains run on time at Mammoth Sniper Challenge, and when the event is going behind the curtain, we're always linking up with each other throughout the day and laughing or talking about how ahead of schedule we are, how streamlined the event has become. But it truly has become something very special. We are attracting so many shooters from around the country. Last year, 60% of the field was new shooters. That was a huge accomplishment for what we've been trying to do with Mammoth. So it's been a fun journey, and I've just been very proud to work alongside Chris and then Dan Eric, another teammate of ours that works the operations on the back end. It's just been a great relationship.
I tell you, sitting here, I did not realize it has been 6 years. I think we had y'all on when y'all first, first acquired the match, and y'all were getting ready. I think we had y'all on. I can't believe it's been 6 years.
Yeah.
Flies. Time flies.
My Facebook memories thing popped up the other day, and it was a photo of Tim and I and the Fort Gordon MWR range control staff. We took a picture outside after we had the meeting where we all signed the papers to have the first Mammoth Sniper Challenge there on base. And I looked at that and I was like, holy cow, that was one, a long time ago. And two, I mean, I don't know that we would have guessed then it would be as big as it is now.
It's
great.
Another, and we talk about all the years past, in the early days, it was Chris and I like pulling our hair out, figuring out how we're going to make it all happen. Because it's really just, three people that are putting this whole thing on in the planning aspects. Then we bring the entire team together and really make it materialize into the show that everybody is participating in. But, there have been long nights of Chris and I going back and forth, trying to figure things out, breaking stuff, or me saying to Chris, hey, man, this is combat, dude. Don't worry about planning. All the plans have fallen to pieces. We just got to maintain.
Tim's like, that's how we do it in combat. We just handle it as it comes. And I'm like, dang, in my background, I plan it all out and it happens the way it's supposed to happen, right?
That's about the thing. Y'all are the yin and the yang to each other.
Yeah, that's actually fun. I mean, sometimes I hang up the phone and I use his name in vain, but it's all really good. Yeah, we have come a long way. We have a long way to go. And that's what we're here tonight to talk about.
So for anybody that doesn't know exactly what Mammoth is, I know we're talking about Mammoth and they ruck a little and they shoot a little, but give a little overview of, that you have to make the rucks or you drop, give a little overview of what the event actually is like.
Sure. The Mammoth Sniper Challenge involves 100 two-person teams, active military, veteran teams, civilian competitive shooters. We have people that have been doing it for more than 10 years. Every year, like Tim mentioned, we have first-time teams. Starts on Friday morning before sunrise. And throughout the course of the weekend, the teams will ruck just over 30 miles, 10, 11, 12 miles per day from a starting point, three or four shooting stages per day back to the finish line. Teams have to camp out Friday and Saturday night with all their gear. And once you step off Friday morning, you basically work through Sunday afternoon with the gear that you step off with. So whatever camping gear you may or may not need, shooting gear, food, the event provides water at the campsite, at the start finish line, at all the stages. So you don't have to pack water, but it's pretty much a all-inclusive weekend of shooting, all-inclusive with what you bring. And kind of one of the challenges of the event is the planning part, what gear to bring, because it's completely open. You can bring a tripod, a team can bring two tripods, one rangefinder, two rangefinders, a tent, sleeping bags, sleep on the ground, hammock, cliff bars, fillet, whatever you want to pack for the event. It's just a matter of how much you're willing to carry. Right. And different competitors have different ability to carry, right, a load, and teams divide up their gear differently. amongst each other, right? So it's kind of like a packing, a planning challenge. It's a physical challenge to get through all the rucks in a 16 minute per mile par time, right? And if you don't complete the ruck in time, you drop in the scoring. Obviously, it's a pistol and rifle marksmanship challenge. And it's kind of a mental challenge to get through all of that, all of the stressors of the event. You know, some people don't handle sleeping outside very well. Some people have done it as their, you know, military career for years. So it's a lot of different types of challenges like stacked on top of each other. And you have to master all of those challenges to do well, you know? And I remember when I was a competitor and I see new competitors every year, you have to do it once to know what to expect to be able to, because there is no recommended gear list. There is no minimum requirements. There is nothing except a bunch of AARs online from past competitors that you can reference. Right. But we always warn everyone it's a little bit different every year too. So it's a kind of a little trek into the unknown for some people. You know, if you've been to Fort Gordon enough times, you kind of know the lay of the land, you kind of know the topography, you kind of know what the ruck routes are about going to be, you kind of know where most of the shooting stages are going to be. So you may have an advantage doing it the second or third time, just in knowing what to expect, right? But again, that's one of the exciting things about what we're going to talk about tonight, what to expect and where.
So I guess without spoiling that super exciting news, there have been three kind of big companies that have been, you know, a really important part of the match, right? Before I guess we get into the big announcement, why don't you guys talk about like the three companies that have either started or been with Mammoth and what they do every year? And I guess, Tim, maybe it would be best if you started.
Yeah, sure. You know, I think, one of the companies that has been with the Mammoth the longest is obviously Gruntstyle, right? We've been involved in PRS shooting, in different matches all across the lands, and it's been a cool relationship over the years. You know, being at SHOT Show, meeting all the incredible vendors and, manufacturers within the space that are creating, you know, all sorts of weapons and ammunition that are putting a competitive edge on the shooting sports. That's quite impressive. And to bring them into our orbit and share some space with them and saying, hey, you know, this is an event that we think that you guys would be an incredible partner in sharing what it is that you guys manufacture in front of, some of the best shooters on the planet. What better place can you ask for a brand to share time with? And, you know, we've really done some great work of bringing these people in. Vortex Optics, right? One of our longest standing sponsors, and probably, you know, one of my favorites, I have to say. Nick Laufenberg has become quite a fan. I'm a big fan of his and the work that he does, and the attention he puts in keeping and maintaining the sport, the shooting sports, right? I think Vortex is one of the leaders in the industry that makes the shooting competitive sports so awesome and interesting, because, you know, they are invested in it. They want to see their product. They want to see great shooters out there that are going out and having a great day at the range and using their product in a way that is, great for the sport, great for their business, and, you know, camaraderie and bringing people together. Like, that is that's something very unique. I'll hand the other one over to Chris.
The other one, and there's lots of supporters, right? We can get into more detail with them lately, but Eberle Stock has stepped up huge this year in the event, joining Vortex in the title sponsorship position. And Glenn Eberle actually came out, you know, when I was a competitor, I had a couple different Eberle Stock bags that I used. And every year you kind of decide what bag you want to use. Is it too big? Is it too small? I got to take this, not take this, right? And they've been with us since the beginning. Like I said, Glenn came out to Fort Gordon a couple of years ago. It might be 3 or 4 years ago now. Spent the day with me, rode around all the ranges. Learned a lot about him and his background and their business, kind of their business model, what they like to do. And then this year we talked and they were like, we want to do more. We want to be more involved. Right. And I told them, well, that's great because we want to do more as well. Right. And talked to Nick Loffenberg at Vortex. They have a good relationship with Everly Stock as well. So the whole thing like came together really nicely. Everly Stock elevating themselves in the partner lineup, Vortex being a great partner to all of us. Right. And again, what we're getting ready to talk about here in a few minutes.
Right. So I think, Tim, when you were talking about all the matches, I was remembering like Texas Three Gun shirts and a few other match shirts that I've had that y'all have done. One, I like them because you guys cut them in a way that makes my arm look bigger. So one, thank you for that. But like they're comfortable, right? And, you know, obviously everyone knows Nick. They know Vortex. They know how much, you know, that guy puts into shooting. So to see companies really kind of find matches that mesh well with them, that really highlight what they do and then say, hey, we want to do more. That's super cool to me. So I want to bug you guys after about getting some Everly stuff here because one, I need some stuff for elk hunting next week and I realize I don't have it.
Well,
no, it's.
And to add on that, like when I first started getting into the shooting sports, you know, it was the most peculiar thing in the world to me. It was all these people coming from all over the country to, you know, shoot these 1 day, 2 day events. But it was more of like, you know, I don't even know how to explain it in terms of what I was experiencing, but I was like, man, this is a shooting festival of people coming all over of all ages. I mean, I've competed in PRS against, children of ages. It's like, oh my
God. Yeah. Getting beaten by the kids, there. Right?
Right. I was fortunate enough, to have the AMU members, an event I was at. They taught my wife how to shoot, and they were there the day we did our gender reveal for my son. Like I've shared all these moments on the shooting ranges with so many incredible people, and it's just been such a blessing. And that's why I love, you know, our brand and, you know, the work that we do within the space, because it's so genuine and it's just down to earth people, and we're all celebrating our love of firearms and, you know, putting rounds on targets at far distances.
Yeah. And the one thing you mentioned was kind of the family get together, the festival, and a lot of the longstanding matches kind of have that in common. They have where you go and you see your friends, you meet new people every year, but every year it's like a get together that you want. It's almost like half the fun is just meeting all your friends again and hanging out.
Yeah. That is also true for the staff that works with Mammoth. It takes 35 or so staff members to make this happen. And I tell everyone every year before the event, after the event, throughout the year, like I do a lot of planning and put a lot of work into that part, right? But I can't run all the stages myself. I can't lead all the squads around and I can't fill out all the scorecards, right? It's an amazing, every year I tell the staff Thursday night, like I'm still surprised they all show up to help run this event, right? But it has become a bit of a family. Like you mentioned, Corey, I stay in touch with most of the staff members in different amounts throughout the year, you know, and they've all become really good friends. And when I shared the news about what we're going to talk about tonight, they were all excited too. Probably at least a dozen of them are already ready to come to the next one, right? So yeah, the people is definitely definitely a big part of it.
Yeah,
that's the that's why I like ROing Mammoth, because I get to drive to the stages and then watch my friends suffer and then hang out with my friends at night. It's great. So, Tim, you're kind of the master of misery at Mammoth. You know, torture them a little bit. Have we tortured them enough? Can we start talking about why we're really here tonight?
Well, I think so. I think Chris has done a great job of dropping the breadcrumbs, and not to steal the thunder, but I think it is, you know, many, many years we've been listening to all the competitors and really understanding what it is that they want. And, you know, Mammoth has become one of the, if not premier shoot, long range shooting sports in the country. And it's just only once a year. So, you know, why not try twice a year? And we've come together I've been sending Mr. Andrews all over the continent of North America and high and low areas, in the brush, in the weeds, in the swamps,
in the snow,
and the snow. And we've come with a place called Fort Chef, where we will be debuting Mammoth 2, and it will be available this evening at 9 p.m. Eastern time, that you'll be able to buy your slot into Mammoth 2 at Fort Chaffee, Arkansas. And it is going to be an extraordinary match. I can't wait for you guys to hear what Chris has in store for you. The staff at Fort Chaffee is chomping at the bit, ready to get this this party started. And I'm going to hand it over to Chris to really explain what that looks like and the staff and what you're going to be expecting.
Yeah, that's the news. We put it out on Friday. And if you didn't see it then, you know now. We have had a wait list for Mammoth 1 of 15 to 20 teams every year. And you can only fit so many teams in an event like this, right? So we've got to capacity every year. Every year we've talked about, you know, is there room in the shooting sports for a second one? We get messages and questions and emails all year about doing one on the West Coast or in the middle of the country, something that's closer to people that might not want to travel all the way to Georgia. And like Tim said, I've visited places over the last 2 years, really from coast to coast, all active military installations, because we like the flavor of holding the events there. I went to Fort Chaffee for the National Guard Sniper Competition last year. And surprising to me, ran into some people there that I know, people that recognized me there. Aren't you the Mammoth guy? What are you doing here? And I was like, oh, I'm just looking around. I'll see you later. the leadership at Fort Chaffee was super excited about hosting the event. As you can imagine, there's a lot of paperwork involved in putting something like this together. And Dan, that Tim mentioned earlier, Grunstyle, has been working tirelessly on paperwork, paperwork, paperwork. Like I basically said, this is the place. This is the place we got to do it. Dan, handle the paperwork, right?
Operations.
and put all that together, got everything signed and wanted to get the word out as quickly as possible so teams can get registered and start training for Mammoth 2. We can talk about what might be similar, what might be different. It'll still be 30-something miles a weekend. It'll still be...
But when is it?
When is it, Tim says? It's April. April 11th, 12th, 13th, 14th in 2024. So just a couple months after Mammoth 1. And like Tim mentioned, pre-registration will open at 9 o'clock tonight, immediately following our show here. So the
structure for Mammoth 2 is going to be pretty much... identical in sense to Mammoth 1.
It will have all of the same challenges. Yes, it'll step off Friday morning. It'll round up Sunday afternoon. If you haven't been to Fort Chaffee, you might not know there's a lot more natural terrain shooting positions there and a fewer flat ranges than Fort Gordon. Similar terrain for rucking will be the same 16-minute mile ruck time. Similar pistol shooting challenges, similar rifle shooting challenges, just in a different part of the country, different time of the year, with probably different weather challenges as well.
I can only imagine how you can hide targets in natural terrain versus a flat.
Yes.
Because you hide them in plain sight at Fort Gordon, so.
whole new world of opportunity, yes.
And she's not kidding. It'll be a perfectly flat range and he'll have, you know, X number of targets up on T-posts, all pretty much right in front of you, and people will still not be able to find them.
Yeah. Yeah. It's entertaining to watch, but I have also been there, so I get it. When the buzzer starts, when time starts, anyone that's shot any competition knows this, like, for like 20 IQ points go away right away.
When I first started shooting, I equated the timer with the little flash device from Men in Black.
Yeah.
That's what it would do. Yeah.
Buzzer amnesia.
Very similar stage challenges, similar mental challenges, similar communication challenges. Targetry will be a challenge. Similar staff, right? You'll see a lot of the same sponsors there. It's a great opportunity for our partners to spread out across the country into a new event and a new area as well.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So we're about at the midpoint of the show. If you guys, we're not going into a whole lot of details of what Mammoth actually is on this episode. So you can go back and check on the Shooter's Mindset YouTube page or the Shooter's Mind, whatever podcast app you're in, just type in Mammoth. We've had these guys on the show a ton. And we've also had shooters, winners, champions, all of that on the show. So go back there. You can get a whole lot of information. Remember, if you're watching us live and you do have questions about the match, feel free to ask them live in the comment section. And if it's appropriate, we'll ask them live on air. Also, if you're gearing up for hunting season, you're going to want to listen closely. We've got an offer to tell you about that could score you up to $750 in gear. This amazing promotion is brought to you by Christensen Arms. And if you don't know Christensen, they created the first carbon fiber barrel back in 1995, and they've been making world-class rifles ever since. Now through October 31st, when you buy any eligible Christensen Arms rifle, you can send their team a simple form with the original receipt, and they'll email you back an electronic gift card code for get up to $750 on their online store, which is stocked up with all sorts of awesome accessories like Leupold, Mystery Ranch, Half-Face Blades, Uncharted Supply Company, and more. Go to ChristensenArms.com to learn more.
That's a mouthful.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You did good. So the venue obviously has a lot of particular set of requirements that have to be present for you to be able to host this match there because it's so unique.
Yes.
You know, you've got to have the room to ruck, you know, and shoot and not shoot each other while you're shooting. So what were the requirements that you set while you were looking? You went all over. How did you decide on where you decided and what were kind of the criteria that you used?
Well, good question. There's a lot of requirements and I visited a lot of places. There are lots of really cool venue opportunities, right? Pretty much everywhere I went, especially since I don't have a military background, but all of the installations I visited were like, oh, this is really cool. We could do this, we could do this, we could do this, we could do this, right? But if you know the event, you know we have to have the ability to have 8 stages all hot at the same time, right? Without overlapping surface danger zones or targetry. So we have to have at least 8 hot ranges at the same time. We have to have ruck routes in between all of those ranges that can be rucked while the ranges are hot, right? So there's kind of some periphery around that we have to have. Tim and I talked a lot about location in the United States, right? The Southeast we know is jam-packed full of competitive shooters, and we always sell out Mammoth One at Fort Gordon. We get a lot of questions about going out west or the Midwest or the Northeast or, you know, things like that. And so, you know, Fort Chaffee is literally like right in the center of the United States. Anyone that has not wanted to travel to Georgia has no excuse now to not travel to Fort Smith, Arkansas. Right. The kind of the temperature of the leadership of the base, Fort Chaffee, from the first day that I went there, they were like, what do we have to do to have this here? Right. They want the event there. Right. So they have the ability to have all those ranges hot at the same time. They have the ruck routes between and around them all. They're super excited about doing it. It's geographically ideal, right, in the country. And so, I mean, the first time I visited, I left there and I called Tim on the way to the airport. I was like, that's it. That's going to be the place. I've seen a lot of cool stuff, but that's where we got to be. Right. And he was like, all right, put Dan on it.
Yes, I don't play a very big role in Mammoth other than you know, just the late night hours of conversation with Chris. And but, you know, it's been really fun, you know, and, you know, because of the needs, you know, we've looked at different places like, you know, 7th Group up in Colorado Springs. That was a really nice place. that was a place that I thought we would be, you know, able to do some mountainous campaigns, maybe some snow involved. Because when I did the Mammoth, it was at Rock Castle. And if you, for all those old heads out there that have participated at Rock Castle, man, that was a brutal environment, especially during that time of year. You know, you had sub-Arctic weather. You know, a lot of people getting frostbite. I lost all my toenails and fingernails from that event. That's the level of pain and torture I'm looking for.
I don't know if I should use this phrase live on the show or not, but I'm going to, because we've been talking about Mammoth 2 for years, and here we are getting ready to make it happen. I visited a place last year, and I told Tim, like, that place would be awesome to have a match, but it would be probably too difficult. It would be like more difficult than what we're serving up right now. It would be like a mega mammoth if we could have one there. Tim was like, that's what we need to do, is mega mammoth, like bigger and harder than mammoth. So
it'd be kind of cool to be, you know, there's the AG Cup for PRS that are the top shooters or whatever. It would be really cool if you could get like even make it smaller, you know, and it really be those that have just kind of shown their ability in this and do one that's really hard, like
mega, perhaps
mega. Yeah.
Mega.
I'm gonna write that down for later.
Like a, I don't know. Yeah, that would be really cool.
Yeah. But yeah, that's it. You know, some of the other challenges are you have to have staff there. Right, because it takes a lot of people to run this. Fortunately, we have a really good, consistent staff at Fort Gordon, and a lot of them are already committed to staffing the Fort Chaffee event. There's Navy SEALs that train there at Fort Chaffee that have communicated through the leadership there that they would be interested in helping staff the event. The National Guard Sniper School has suggested they could supply some staff as well. So the staffing part is coming together real quickly, and it will be just like I say at Mammoth One, like a all-star, super top-notch staff. I mean, that's what makes the event to me, is planning everything I do in the background. Once that's done, it's the staff that interacts with the shooters, that calls the hits, that keeps the score, that leads the squads. Right. It's the staff that makes it all happen. And that was one of the things I told Tim was really important to me, was we have to get our high quality staff to Fort Chaffee to help make this happen. Right.
That was definitely the barrier of entry, is if we could pull the best or the most engaged of our ROs into this, then we know we have something. And an introductory or a preliminary email was sent out, maybe a couple of weeks ago, to Zaros, and man, extraordinarily positive feedback. And that's when we knew, like, let's pull the trigger, let's do it. Because we were hesitant. Like, we had all the right pieces, everything was there, but did we have enough interest from, you know, people that, you know, this would be something of value? And you know, that was a big question. I think we've solved that.
Same thing with partners and sponsors. You know, I sent the same email to, you know, our top tier sponsors and partners for the last 5 or 6 years. And, you know, Marathon Targets, for example, they're like, yep, tell us when it is, we'll be there. Just go down the list. Everly Stock and Vortex, obviously, were part of the decision to do this. But I've got response already from most of our stage sponsors, a lot of prize table contributors that also want to be a part of Mammoth too. So yeah, we have a great venue. We'll have the same great title sponsors, the same host in Grunt Style, the same all-star staff, the same match director, the same guy giving them hell on Saturday night, a lot of the same sponsors, and all we need now is competitors. See if they're up for it.
And back on the RO thing, Jeff is over in the comments, and Daniel just posted the email address. But for those that don't see that, if you're watching the podcast, if you're interested in ROing this event, what should you do?
Email me at matchdirector@mammothsniperchallenge.com. It's pretty straightforward. Match director at mammothsniperchallenge.com, and kind of collect names throughout the year. And then just in the last month or so, we kind of start regular communication with the January staff for Fort Gordon. And we'll put together a staff list for Fort Chaffee. Probably we'll start staff emails for that in December, getting ready for April. But yeah, definitely email me. I also get some messages on the Mammoth Facebook page. You can message us there. But yeah.
I'll say, talking about staff, for anyone that's not ever competed in Mammoth or attended Mammoth or RO'd it, I don't know that people realize how important the staff is at this match and how different it is. Because you not only have to have, you know, your spotters and RO that's on the stage, right, keeping the shooters safe and straight, which even that is a different job, right? Because you can't, it's all blind stages. So whenever they come up there, if they were told you must jump up and down and yell monkey before you pull the trigger and hit the target, and you don't jump up and down and yell monkey and you hit the target, the RO is just going to sit there and not say anything. And then you're going to be like, well, why aren't you calling hits? Because it's a very mental game, and the RO has to just stand there silent, and there's no feedback given at all, much more stringent than in PRS. So it's kind of a different for that, a different aspect. But then you also have to have the, you know, squad moms that are, you know, keeping them there, you know, keeping their ruck times, keeping up with who finishes first, because whoever finishes first gets to pick their shooting order first. And I'm trying to think of what all else you have. You have the drivers, you have the squad moms,
medics. Last year we had support from the 18 Delta Special Forces group, supplied medics for the event. We have one medic with each squad that travels around throughout the whole event. And every year we have, you know, twisted ankles, sprained this and stuff like that, some cuts and some bruises and things that teams are not allowed really any medical attention. They're completely on their own unless you have an injury that will cause you to drop out of the event, right? And we have had those every year. Last year we had a competitor have a cardiac event on one of the rucks. And the medics were there, and the medics got them to the Fort Eisenhower, Eisenhower Hospital there on Fort Gordon, right? But the medic support for the event is as important as anything. It's a difficult physical event, and you know, people can get hurt.
Yeah, so, it's just a very different situation. I had always heard about Mammoth or whatever, and until I went and RO'd one, I did not have any idea how different it was, some of the things. And
then you signed up to compete.
Right.
I did. It was fun, I will say.
I think shining a little bit of light on the caliber of the ROs that show up at Mammoth, you know, we're talking about some world-class individuals. You know, they're all certified, they're trained. You know, Chris does a great job of making sure that everybody's staying up to, you know, the requirements of what we expect from our O's at Mammoth. And you know, we've had some things over the years that, you know, in some of our content we put out last year, there was a great interaction with a competitor and a call that was made on the shooting line, and you know, it was handled very well. It was handled professionally, and I think better in many ways that I've seen in other matches across the sport. You know, so we've done a really great job of making sure that our ROs are professional all the time, that they are listening to the competitors, but you know, at the same time, the competitors also need to understand that, you know, this is a professional match, and the ROs will make a call or they will not make a call, and whatever that call is will be respected and we'll move on. And that's, we take great pride in that.
We got a couple of lives I want to hit real quick. Sure. It's been asked a couple of times over there. Will the new 15 minute per mile pace be the standard for Mammoth 2?
I have seen that question posted like several times in several places, and it's fun to see all the responses. The minimum ruck time is a 16-minute mile, and it will be the same at Fort Chaffee as it is at Fort Gordon. It's 16, not 15, but it is fun to see people's responses when people ask about 15-minute miles. I have, you know, we have thought about upping the pace over the years. It's a pretty good pace for the terrain there. The ruck routes might get more difficult. There might be some more things involved. One of the things Tim and I track every year is the dropout rate for the event. And over 6 years, more and more teams make it to the finish line on Sunday and fewer teams drop out. And I think over the years with people posting AARs online and things like that, I think people know maybe a little bit more what to expect. Mm-hmm. You see training for Mammoth social media posts all year. So, you know, people are getting ready. And so every year we turn up the difficulty a little bit because we know everyone's prepared a little bit more. But the dropout rate keeps getting less and less. And so every year, I think maybe we need to turn it up maybe another notch more than we even think, right? We'll see in January if we've gone far enough.
Now, you guys are lucky because Chris will tell you, I'm the guy every year, like, make it harder. I want to see more people fall out. And you know, so I'm always beating that drum.
Yes, he'll stand at the finish line.
Yeah.
Nobody's dropped.
Yeah.
I think my very first exposure to Mammoth was coming there I guess it was the first year at Fort Gordon, showing up on Sunday to watch people finish across the finish line. And like, we get there and Tim's out there like sweeping a patio and he's like, oh, hey guys, this is really cool. We have grenade fields that we're going to make them run through because it's harder than running on the side of the road. It's epic.
Yeah.
Like, first time meeting Tim. Another thing, somebody, I'm in with this. I like this Daniel guy. He said, PsychOps for this year, that you should grill steaks for the ROs right next to the camp.
Oh man.
We do. It's amazing how many teams, competitors in the campsite have enough phone battery for social media overnight. but we have posted over the last few years, CNH Precision sponsors the staff dinners. And Dan there from Grunt Style takes care of all the catering and everything for the staff. I don't know if I can say that it's steak dinners, but the staff does eat really well.
We do. I can attest to that.
And that's compliments of CNH Precision, right? We post it on social media every night, and Saturday morning and Sunday morning before the morning brief, I always get competitors like walk up to me in the dark, in the cold, you know, with a light on their head. And they're like, oh, nice post about dinner last night. Yeah, people are paying attention.
They are. One of the things I've always wanted to do, and I don't know if I'll ever get around to doing it, but I want to recreate that snowy moment of Rock Castle. And if that means I have to bring in a snow machine to launch it all across the campsite, I'm crazy enough to spend that kind of money.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's funny that you say that, because Tim Nolan just commented that you need a frigid weather Mammoth. It's it's not warm in here in Georgia at that time of the year.
It's not warm, but it's definitely not Rock Castle cold either. Yeah. Right.
We had another live earlier, somebody asking, they don't have a partner yet, but mm-hmm. they want to sign up.
Mm-hmm.
Do they have to have a partner before they sign up?
We require two names, two email addresses, two shirt sizes at pre-registration. So you do have to have a partner to sign up. I will say that we compile all the teams together. We at Fort Gordon, for example, we have to fill out some paperwork to get base access. We'll have to do a similar thing at Fort Chaffee. There is like a month window where in special circumstances we can make a change. You know, we have had military competitors get orders or, you know, get shipped out, right, where we've been allowed to make changes. But we do require two team members to register, and in special circumstances we can make a change. Yes. But hope that answers the question.
Yeah, definitely.
You really need your partner ahead to be able to train. There's so much communication and.
Yeah, the teamwork element. I mean, if you don't spend a lot of time with your partner, right? And that's one of the biggest challenges to the whole thing.
It will certainly show up.
It will certainly show up. Yeah. Yeah.
I did a quick Googling earlier.
You did a quick Google earlier? Yeah.
Yeah. It's apparently 7 hours from where I'm at right now. So I've been west of Fort Smith and it's beautiful and in the Ozarks. Mm-hmm. Is the actual base of the location kind of in small mountains maybe that could contribute to unique rocks or angle challenges or anything like that?
There's not really any high angle, like what I would consider a high angle shooting opportunities there any more than there are at Fort Gordon. The topography actually is very similar to Fort Gordon. It's hilly. Okay. It's got some pretty good hills. It's mm-hmm. got some that you don't really want to stare down the horizon, like Range Road at Fort Gordon.
Amen.
But, but just based on the 16-minute mile ruck time, it is not mountainous by any means, but it is definitely hilly.
Okay. When you're thinking, I guess, of a stage,
mm-hmm.
what are some of the kind of the elements of, let's say, the range there that you might want to show off? Versus sure. another place.
Sure, sure. Well, the fact that most of the shooting positions and most of the stages will be more natural terrain locations
mm-hmm.
Versus flat ranges, right, just gives us a lot more opportunity for target placement in and around trees, bushes, equipment that's downrange, in shade, in shadows.
Love it.
Yeah, there's more, probably more longer range opportunities at Fort Chaffee than we have on some of the flat ranges at Fort Gordon.
Okay.
So, and for me, when I design stages, I have not competed as much in the last couple of years as much as I would like, and I need to get out and do that some more myself. But I spend so much time planning this, right? I look at the marksmanship challenge. You got to have, obviously, it's a shooting competition, right? So you're going to have pistol right. and rifle challenges on every stage, right? And then we mix into that, you know, on stages, a communication challenge, a physical challenge, maybe a mental challenge, maybe a paying attention to the stage brief challenge. I don't believe you can pour like all of those into every stage, right? Because you just wear people out or make it impossible. But there's really no trickery, I would say, to the stages, but sure. it's definitely a thinking person's game as well.
The biggest challenge the biggest challenge that I've seen over the years is, you know, there's two, one, listening is probably the biggest failure of all.
Yeah, and
the second to that is, you know, rushing your shooting position. If you can accomplish, you know, 75 to 100% on both of those skills, you will have a great mammoth.
Yeah. Yeah. For me as a competitor, my biggest challenge historically, and I don't know why this is, my challenge personally has always been finding targets. Like once I can find a target and range it, I can do okay impacting it, right? But the finding targets challenge is kind of my personal challenge, right? And you see that in the event as well. I see other people struggle with that. Preparation, I think, even the physical preparation, right? We usually get the majority of drops Friday before noon when people just don't realize what they signed up for. This is a lot harder than I thought it was going to be, right? You know you're going to go 2 or 3 miles at a time, and you know you got to average a 60-minute mile, and you know you got to carry all the stuff you bring, right? But there's a lot of people that don't prepare for that, right? And so by Friday at noon, there's like the first cut of drops, It happens like right away.
Yeah, it's pretty wild to see the amount of people that show up on the first stage and get out of the van sometimes.
Yeah, each squad is led by a van and a squad leader, right? And we kind of keep track all day of how many people have completed the rucks and how many people are in the vans, right? If you fail a ruck, you drop to the bottom in the scoring, but you can still ride in the van for the rest weekend, continue to shoot stages. A lot of competitors do that for the shooting experience. We have had some competitors before say, screw it, I'm going home.
We saw a dude walk like half a mile and he's like, I just turned and walked to his car.
Yeah.
Wow. So we have this question and we kind of already touched on it. Mm-hmm. But format wise, we're doing the same format, different place, different scenery.
Very similar, yes.
I'm trying to think of the way to say this question to not like blow away stages. What's probably the most unique thing that you saw out there when you were looking through all these areas? And it may not be like a specific something you're going to shoot off of or something that's going to be a challenge, but like what's kind of some of the unique things that you saw around the area you were looking at?
Can't really say there was any one thing that stands out except for how wide open the space is, right? At Fort Gordon, it's relatively easy to define the left and right limits for each shooting stage, right? And there are opportunities at Fort Chaffee to have like 180 degree right and left limits for shooting stages if we want to lay them out that way, right? So the shooting stages, you know, they could be very narrow. They could also be very wide. So that's one thing. And then the other thing, I guess, just the natural terrain shooting positions, kind of like rolling hills, openings in trees, objects downrange that you're not used to seeing, right? If you've been shooting PRS matches, NRL hunter matches, things like that, you will see things downrange with targets around and in them that you don't see at a lot of events, right? Those are the opportunities that being on a military installation gives you.
And so I've been, as soon as you sent me the information, the first thing I did was misspell Chaffee trying to find this on Google Maps. and
me too.
And then actually it wasn't until during the course of the show that I went into Google Maps and got the cool thing where it gives you the border of the fort. So you can see how big this actually is. And like, yeah. Things I thought were like the next county over are actually on base.
Yeah.
There's some wild looking things out here that I have no idea what they are. like there's a lot of open area out here for activities. And then like, I guess east side, there's a giant T that might be an airstrip, might be an airstrip,
yeah.
Might have to secure it.
Yeah, you might see some towers there in Google Maps. You might see an airstrip.
Stairs.
Yeah, with stairs, yeah.
And you know one of the two of them is going to mix barbed wire in with that combination.
There will be barbed wire somewhere at some point, and some people will complain about it, but just... be aware, it's gonna be there. Just be ready for it. Put your jacket in your bag before you get to it.
And then I don't know what this is.
You don't know what is?
Hold on, I gotta close it out. Let's see.
So I guess while Greg pulls this up, because I want to see this, let's pretend you're me and you've never even been to Mammoth.
What is that?
Oh yeah, that.
It's crop circle. Easy.
Yeah. Don't worry about that. Act like you never saw that. So go again, Corey.
Sorry. So if you're someone like me that wants to come to their first match, you've got, call it 6 months out. Mm-hmm. Outside of bringing like an Ultra Magnum to shoot and a Desert Eagle or something silly, like what would be your one tip for someone that's coming to the match that'll make their match experience better?
My best tip for that would be to read as much as you can about it online. And okay. And I'll tell you this, my first Mammoth as competitor was 2014, and there was nothing online about it really at all. True story, I showed up at my first Mammoth, and there's competitors to this day that I competed with in 2014. There are staff members and sponsors and partners that were part of Mammoth when I was there for the first time in 2014. And I've joked about this with people. I showed up with a Remington 700 5R 308 with a top feeding thing, like jamming rounds in the top as fast as I could, right? And by Friday morning at 9 o'clock, I realized like I was in the wrong place with the wrong gear, with the wrong skill set. And I was, you know, like Scott Whitehead and I were like, holy cow, we're lost, right? But since then, there's a AAR after action report from every Mammoth since then on the Best Targets website. So you can look at beststeeltargets.com and you can read about every Mammoth for the last 10 years there. Okay. I know Greg Hamilton and Sean Murphy have done really good AARs from every event. On the Grunt Style YouTube channel, there's 3, 4, 5 summary videos from the last couple of years, right? You can see a lot of stage lays out, shooting positions, gear selection, things like that. There's more and more information available online, right, that people have shared that's free, right? You just have to look it up and study it, and you can kind of, you know, for a first-time competitor, you can kind of start piecing together a feel for what you're getting into, right? Okay. That would be my biggest suggestion, is there's free information out there that people have shared, that you do your homework, right? And you should not be surprised by anything that happens.
I would definitely agree with that.
Yeah. There's not... you know, a particular caliber or a particular tent or a particular food to pack. Like, that's the key to success, right? Like, the key to success is packing light, good communication with your partner, like Tim said, ability to listen and follow directions, some physical endurance, some mental endurance, and, you know, complete the rucks and do not zero any stages. You'll be in the top half of the field.
Okay. My bud, Grant. Grant's a former guest on here. He lives outside of Fort Smith. He was bugging me to do one of the Vortex matches. So I might bug him and see if we can sign up.
Yeah, definitely do. If you do that, that's like the gateway drug to doing it a second time. Right. Because I mean, I did it. It is because you do it. And then after you finish your first Mammoth, like, I remember Scott Whitehead and I driving home from Rockcastle Sunday night, like the whole drive home, we were like, oh, we got to get one of those. We got to get one of those. We need to get rid of that. We should bring this instead of that. We need to do this. We need to practice this. And like by Monday morning, you're thinking about how you can do better the next year. You know, that's one of the draws to the event.
So would you say if a guy has been elk hunting, chasing elk in the backcountry, they'd be more than in shape enough? They just need to do the other skill sets, or do you think there's a little bit more to it as far as the rucking and the physicality?
It's a great question. And like Greg and Jen mentioned earlier, if you look back in the archives and you watch the show when they had the 2022 winners, I think were both hunters. I think from Wyoming, Montana, out west. Right. Yeah. And they had read about Mammoth and they wanted to come do it. Right. They came, did it, crushed all the rucks, crushed all the shooting. I mean, they like they won the thing, you know, and they were like, that was fun. Thanks. See ya. Right. And they were gone.
I love it.
You know, I mean, and they had them on the show and they asked about their training. And they literally said, you know, they're guides and they hunt and they're in the mountains all the time. They're in good shape.
Okay.
You know, they shoot well. And they were like, yeah, it seemed pretty easy, actually.
Oh, that sounds
like, no, look it up. It's a great Wyoming. It's a great episode, and you can learn a lot about it, just like I said, watching past shows.
Yep.
Yeah.
Guys, it is it looks like registration is open.
It's open.
It is going. It's popping off right now. It is popping off right now.
And I just posted a link over in the comments if somebody's watching and wants to get over there real quick.
If somebody is watching in the comments, well,
Boys registering.
We'll have another successful opening day pre-registration. And again, we are putting together one of what we believe is some of the best shooting competitions in the industry, and we want all of you guys listeners out there listening to us to come and join us, participate. This is a cool thing, and we're very proud to bring Mammoth 2 forward for everybody.
Yeah, it's been a long time coming, and it's been a lot of talk and a lot of questions, and so I told Tim the competitors are asking. This is what we got to do. We got to put it out there. All right, so.
Yeah, y'all been talking about it for a couple of years, doing a second one. So, finally coming to fruition.
Yeah.
Guys, I know this match doesn't sound like it could get any better, but just north of base, there is a giant Budweiser can.
Yes, there is. Yes. On the side of the road, on the north side of base, there is a giant Budweiser can. You're doing your research, sir.
That is very Arkansasian. Is that the right way of saying it?
I don't know.
Yeah. I'm not making any marketing jokes here.
Oh, no, I lost my outline.
Well, I couldn't think of a better place to share this news than here on the Shooter's Mindset. You guys have been such great friends of what we're doing with Mammoth, and very proud of this partnership. So thank you for allowing us to share this information with you and your audience.
Yeah, thanks for having us on.
Yeah, thank you guys so much.
Well,
I think we'll zip through some shout outs real quick. So I think this week we will start with Corey.
Yeah, I'm going to shout you guys out for finding another shooting sport that I needed to compete in. I didn't really need to compete in, but this will be the second match I sign up live on. So thanks, guys.
Awesome.
Corey's going to do Mammoth.
Talking to Grant now.
Greg, how about you? Shout outs.
We'll shout out PDC Custom back there for awesome rifle chassis. Vortex, that kind of helps everybody in the shooting sports do all the cool things. And Hunter's HD Gold up there, because I went to the eye doctor yesterday. So we're gonna be calling them again here real soon.
Right. Chris, you got any shout outs?
I have a couple. The obvious, Vortex and Everly Stock for being behind not only Mammoth 1, but Mammoth 2. My good friend Tim and everyone at Grunstyle for letting me do this. And the competitors. My biggest call out is to the competitors. You've asked for another Mammoth. We got another Mammoth sitting on a silver platter right in front of you. All you got to do is sign up and come do it. That's my call.
That's right. Get on it. All right, Tim, how about you?
Same. I would echo that. And mostly I want to say, I'm just blessed to be surrounded by such incredible people that love putting things together and experiences for others. And I'm just blessed to continue to share in these companies. And I hope to continue moving that down the field and bringing more things for everybody and finding more people that are doing great things and experiences that I think everybody should be sharing in. So I'm just thankful for all of you.
Oh,
very sweet. And I just want to shout out y'all for spending your Tuesday night with us. Well, it's been an hour and a half of your time that you have spent. I know y'all have a lot going, trying to get ready for not one, but two Mammoths.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be interesting to see how fast this sells out. So I'll probably hit you up later, Chris, and find out, because I know...
Yeah.
Mammoth is always one of those that you got to jump on it fast or it sells out. So,
How's it look there, Tim?
It's looking mighty fine. We're well over 30. It looks like we'll probably sell this event out this evening.
Yeah, probably.
All right. Well, we'll post some updates online probably tomorrow morning. See how everything goes. But. Thanks for having us on, and thanks for helping us share the news. And I'll see you guys in a couple of months down there in Augusta.
Yeah, we'll have to. I say it every time, and then we never do. Let me know when you're in Augusta, and we'll go grab dinner.
All righty, we'll do it.
All right, and that'll be a wrap for episode 421. I hope everybody has a great night, and we'll see y'all next time.